Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is John Silver, lead recruiter of the Dark Order, and you are listening to All Things Elite.
Welcome to the 114th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with the proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz, and I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy, my good friend, Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how you doing?
I am doing well. I just got back from commentating on a wrestling show, Empire Pro Wrestling in Oklahoma City. You can find them on Twitter. They had a Twitch live stream. And my name on the show is Chris, because when I was growing up and I made my wrestling name, it was always Chris. So I just really wanted it to, I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to use it. So I use my wrestling name, Chris, when I do commentating, and I am a heel commentator, and I play it up so well, and it's so fun. There was a guy on the show, and he was wearing a kilt. I called it a skirt, and then my friend was like, oh, it's a kilt. And I was like, in Scotland, it's a kilt. In Oklahoma, it's a skirt.
That's a good line. I'm very jealous you got to do that, of course. Commentating wrestling is my dream. So big ups to Floyd, though, for being able to do that.
And a big congratulations to my co-host, Austin. In one fell swoop, he not only got a job as a sports anchor, he also restored my confidence in the whole college system.
Yes, I'm very happy because I just received the offer to do sports anchoring work for a station up in Alpena, Michigan. So that's about a few hours away from my house. It's way more northern in Michigan, but I'm very excited. Yes, Floyd says he told me before the show started, he's like, I know so many people who got into college and they never got to work in their field and they ended up just having to change plans. So I have fixed that. My first on-air television job is actually covering sports. It's not the case for a lot of broadcasters, so I'm very fortunate that that's the case for me.
My direct boss has a degree in journalism, and you know I don't work in journalism. It's just like everybody. I worked at a call center for a cell phone company. I won't say which one, just in case I ever disparage them. I worked for a call center, and you're like, seriously. It was like you had a bunch of people in degrees making as much as I did, and I never even got close to one. And it was just so, it's like, I just became so jaded when it came to college because I just know so many people that had a crap ton of college debt and just ended up having to take a job, you know? Whatever the job is, they just had to take a job, and it was nowhere near what they wanted to do when they went to college or when they finished college. So it's like the fact that I have a friend that I can say he went to college, he actually got a job in his field, that's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And I like, to get a little bit more personal on that, all the thanks in the world goes to my parents for all the help they did for that, because like college debt wise, I have little to if none because of them. And they've done all the help in the world to push me towards what I want to do. They have always been supportive. They've always been thankful. Even when I had to take an extra year of college because I was an idiot and I just booked all my classes to the point where I was setting myself up to fail pretty much because I wasn't talking to my advisors or doing anything because I was like, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. They have been nothing but supportive and nothing but great to me. So big ups to them. I love them very dearly. But I'm happy to say that I can firmly say that I'm starting my sports broadcasting career. It's only a matter of time before I get that dream of actually calling pro wrestling. So we'll
Excalibur see down the road. Excalibur, you better watch out. You better watch out, Excalibur. Austin coming for you.
Yes. All the head commentators, all of them, I'm coming with all your heads. But no, I will say, though, as of right now, this doesn't affect my recording schedule with Floyd, with all things Elite. If anything comes up, we will let you guys know if that is the case. But as of right now, I am still clear to continue to do this podcast. And I enjoy doing it, and it's a lot of fun, and I love talking about wrestling, and this is a perfect outlet for me to do so. And Floyd brought me in to host this podcast with him, which is still incredibly kind of him for him to do this. I will be sticking with this still, unless other factors get in the way, which I don't believe they will still, though.
Yeah, I have, you know, the first thing, one of the first messages I sent him is like, your job, your career comes first. If, you know, I love having you on here, but if you need to go, I understand, because man, it's like I'm super proud of my friend for getting the job, you know, getting a job. I mean, I know it's not going to be your last job, but, you know, to get to the next job, you got to at least have your first job, and that's awesome.
Absolutely, and considering how, hopefully this won't happen, but, like there was, the main reason why I went for it was because I was like, man, if there's another shutdown, I don't want to just be stuck at home doing, like, grocery shopping for other people, like, delivery driving and stuff like that. So I was like, I have to, like, try to see if I can find something before, like, anything bad happens again. So thankfully I have security for a little while in my job security. So that's thankful for me as well too. But regardless, that's enough about me. I want to talk wrestling with y'all guys. We got a lot to talk about with All Things Elite. Some stuff also that I've talked about a little bit before on the show. And I, you will know my belief on this is firm, and it'll be the first thing we talk about in our big news of the week. But before we get to that, I want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on Google or Apple Podcasts. If you listen to us on Spotify or any other platforms, give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. You can also leave a rating and a review. Let us know how we're doing. And if you're so inclined, you can also leave a donation through our podcast provider, Red Circle. It'd be incredibly generous if you would do such a thing. We will shout you out for sure if you do that. Simplest way to support us, though, is on social media. Give us a follow. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. At Social Suplex are the guys that make this show possible. They are our podcasting network. Give them a follow and check out all their other incredible podcasts. I have recently changed my Twitter handle to be a little bit more professional because SZoomer4 is really just kind of a gamer tag name that I used for the longest time when I was in middle school and high school. So my Twitter name is just my full name. It is Austin Sumowitz, SZUMOWICZ. Though if you still search up SZoomer4, my name will still pop up. So that is still fine. And Floyd is still Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter, at yeah. Floyd Johnson Jr.
Because you know what? You don't know why I picked Floyd Johnson Jr.? Not just because it was my name. And I know that's just the easy one. Oh, it's because it's your name. No, it's because I hated the idea on social media that people could get on it and say stuff mean and it not be tied to them. So I was like, you know what?
No repercussions of it being traced down to you.
Yeah, and I say, you know what? If I'm ever a asshole on social media, you know what? I'm going to own it. And I have been a couple times. There are a couple times that I've been like a legit asshole on social media. And I didn't want to delete it. I wanted to be under my name because, you know what? It did happen and I want to own it. I just didn't want to ever be one of those guys that hid under a fake name and wasn't themselves. I'm like, hey, I'm Floyd Johnson Jr. and these are my thoughts, you know, even if
accountability. What the hell is this?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I don't like the people that get on and just like their name is like Allen 042791,
and they have like the basic like
and they could be like, you're a whore, and I'm like, I mean, I don't even like people. You'll see like celebrities reply to that, and I understand, you know, people have this natural urge to defend myself, but I'm not defending. I'm never going to defend myself against no one.
Yeah.
And to me, Allen 04 blah 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 is no one. They don't they don't exist because they don't they're so scared of their thoughts they won't even put their name on it.
There you go. I mean, no reason to let the coward trolls
It's like you're so scared of your thoughts you won't even put your name on it. So I'm not gonna even dignify it with a reply or anything like that.
Say it with your chest. Yep. Say it with your chest.
Hey, you don't like me? Say you don't like me. You know what? You won't be the first person to not to like me. I'm pretty sure you won't be the last. But at least you had a sack and you said something. You know?
There you go.
Yeah.
But anyways, with all that promotion out of the way, we got to talk about, excuse me, I have to clear my throat for this because this is of high importance. The big news of the week, and is the reported signings that AEW has made recently, one of which is, of course, huge. The other which I have been denying, like, unbelievably so. I have denied it to the hills. Bryan Danielson and CM Punk. The reports have been flying around recently. Of course, the rumors were prevailing that Daniel Bryan was signing and that he would be debuting at the AEW Dynamite Grand Slam show in Queens, New York. And as for CM Punk, reports were going around that he was in talks with AEW and that WWE officials were thinking, oh yeah, he's going to sign with AEW. There was no word if he put pen to paper. Reports are saying now, like I saw Cultaholic report on this, that he's 100% for AEW. And Bryan Danielson, unbelievably awesome. I'm all for it. I believe it, and I believe the rumors on this, or I'm inclined to believe the rumors on this because it's been very reputable with everything. It's been reputable with CM Punk too, but the issue is I refuse to believe it because I'm a mark for this man, and I have only just recently accepted that he's never coming back to wrestling. So anyways, Floyd can give his thoughts, and then I'll wrap up my thoughts on Punk too because I'm the biggest Punk fan he probably knows.
I'll start with the now deceased Daniel Bryan. RIP Daniel Bryan. Long live the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. Yes, I am so times infinity pumped that this is going to happen. Because Daniel Bryan has been the darling of the indies. He has been the darling of the WWE. He has worked in writing and production, right? He is the full package, the complete package when it comes to a wrestler. I want to see that in AEW, where he actually has some say in his booking, cutting his home promos and all that, how that ends up coming together. It's just like he's going to bring so much to it. It's like sometimes you're like, well, we brought in this guy. He's going to help people in the back. We brought in this guy. He's really good in the ring. We brought in this guy. Really, really good in the mic. We brought this guy. He's good at production and all that stuff. You're literally getting all of that in one guy. One guy. Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson. He has done it all in professional wrestling. So I don't know if he's going to be on Dynamite every week. I don't know where he's going to be. But when he's there, he's going to make everything better, more crisp, because he's going to bring the complete package of his 20-plus years experience to it. And he's going to bring that big-time things, hints from the big-time production value, which is WWE. I have no problem with AEW's production. I want to be first to say this, but everything can always improve. The rumor is September 22nd in Flushing. Oh my God, I couldn't imagine anything bigger than that. That means everyone that keeps saying, I hope he's at All Out. He's probably not going to be at All Out if the rumors are true, which is he's going to debut in New York. So, you know, don't think about All Out. The next one is CM Punk. Mm-hmm. I am a huge CM Punk fan. I had taken a long break. Well, I wouldn't call it a break. I was poor and couldn't go to WrestleMania for a long time. And I finally, it's like, I'm going back to WrestleMania. I'm going to WrestleMania 30. I'm doing it. Nothing's going to stop me from going to WrestleMania 30, right? Well, the reason I wanted to go to WrestleMania 30, because my favorite wrestler at the time was CM Punk.
Yeah, about that.
So excited about CM Punk. Going to WrestleMania, he's going to do his thing. The Rock was back in Hollywood and had to worry about him ruining shit anymore. CM Punk was finally going to get his due. 2 months, 3 months before WrestleMania, or right after the Royal Rumble that year, he bounced. He's like, I'm out. I ain't wrestling no more.
Night after Royal Rumble, after he got chokeslammed through a table by Kane, being pulled out early because he got a concussion.
He's like, I ain't doing this no more. And that broke my heart. And I went through in the last, we're at 37. We're like 7, 8 years. I've been through so many emotions with CM Punk. I've been like heartbroken because he left. And then he went to MMA, and I got hopeful again because I'm like, at least he's going to be on MMA. Maybe he'll get this out of his system and come back to wrestling. He does not do that well in MMA, even though I was rooting for him. Then I'm like, okay, now he's going back to wrestling. Then he cuts a whole – he started saying a whole bunch of stuff like, you know, downplaying wrestling. And I was like – and it broke my heart. He had broke my heart, and I was like really angry at CM Punk. But I was like, man, grr. And then I got a chance to meet CM Punk, and he was awesome. And I was like, okay, I love you again. And then it was just like, then I heard the rumors of TK, and I was happy. And I've said on the show, CM Punk is going to be in AEW. I said it, right? I'm still right. I was just wrong on the time, right? Yeah, okay. Now, I truly, the reason I believe this time is there's a few things. One, every other time he's come out and in some way he's flat out denied it. He has not. Actually, he's done the opposite of denying it. He has leaned into it with his tweets and
his Instagram stories
from Michael Jordan's The Last Ride. You know, and it's just like he's going to have one last ride with AEW. It just seems like he has the itch again. And again, take everything that CM Punk has been for the last 20 years, and you take that, the full knowledge, the full desire, full you know, production, the promos that he has built inside of him. You know, you think the pipe bomb, how many pipe bombs does he have left, you know? And he gets to a place where they're not really afraid to let you drop them. I mean, TK and Cody are not afraid to go at Vince. They do it all the fucking time. So to see what CM Punk can do in this environment, this collective agreement, I'm not saying this. This is what everyone says, one of the most cohesive locker rooms in wrestling. To see what CM Punk can do, what is like, will blow my mind. And for it to happen, one of those three shows in Chicago, right? It would, to me, for me personally, it would be me getting my WrestleMania moment that I didn't get from CM Punk when I went to that first one and third. That's just me personally. This will to me, wipe the slate clean. And it's like, I'm such a CM Punk mark to the point where I don't even think I've told you this, Austin. Around WrestleMania 30, I was going to get a Pepsi tattoo. And because I'm such a CM Punk mark. And my friend actually talked me out of it, and then he walked away. So I'm really glad for that friend that talked me out of getting the Pepsi tattoo, which I would have had for the last 8 years for basically no reason. So, yeah, but I truly believe it's going to happen now, and it's, yeah. I've heard some people say, you know, it's, you know, bringing them in is going to push the talent down. Me and you, Austin, we come from sports backgrounds, sports fans backgrounds. And you know what's never a problem? Too much talent.
Nope. But I'll wrap my thoughts on it with a big little bow on top, because I've made it no secret that CM Punk is my favorite wrestler of all time. When I got into wrestling, I got in at 2009. I hadn't been to my first actual live wrestling show besides a live event. I had not been to my first ever live televised wrestling show until CM Punk had already left. I went to a Raw, I want to say in like 2015 or 16, before the Joe Louis Arena was torn down. I saw it there. I don't remember exactly what year it was, but Punk was already gone. But to put that in perspective, I have not seen this man wrestle live. And he's my favorite wrestler of all time. When he left in 2014, I was heartbroken, but I completely understood why he left, because, man, that was some BS. There was a lot of things going on with that. But his pipe bomb promo in 2011 changed the way I viewed wrestling so hard. And yes, it didn't really lead to much, because the Summer of Punk was not as big of a deal as it was. And even though his 434-day title reign was incredibly record-breaking, I suppose, in that era, he main evented in a pay-per-view maybe like four or five times with that title, which is absurd and ridiculous considering that John Laurinaitis and John Cena main evented a pay-per-view over him, and he was actually wrestling Daniel Bryan in that same pay-per-view. But whatever, I'll let it go because it's a long time ago. I have gone through the five stages of grief many times with this man, because there has been many times when rumors have come up when shows are coming to Chicago of CM Punk returning, and I get my hopes up and I watch the show, even though I'm not really looking forward to anything else on the show. I just want to see CM Punk. He doesn't show up, and then it kind of taints the rest of the show for me, even if it's a good show. And because I'm going to be at All Out, I really don't want to taint that show, because I'm already excited for All Out regardless of if CM Punk shows up or not. So I don't want to have that in the back of my mind at all times while I'm watching AEW, because I have a lot better of a relationship with AEW than I do with WWE, because I love the talent that they have. I've loved the stories that they put on. That a CM Punk return would, like, if it didn't happen, it wouldn't ruin the show for me if I wasn't always thinking about it. And only in the last 3 years have I come to accept the fact that, you know what, he probably won't ever come back to wrestling. I was almost certain of it. And now they're flying around again. And this time, it's more than ever. And I've denied it to the heavens. Like, you can call me Donald Trump the day after elections. I am denying every single report that has come out from factual sources, from anybody, all my friends telling me so. I've denied it to the heavens, saying it's never happening. He will never come back to wrestling. He will never come back into a wrestling ring. He will stay with his wife. He will stay with AJ. He'll do movies. He'll possibly tweet about wrestling. He'll go to hockey games. That's it. But now it's becoming a lot more of a situation with that. So I will continue to deny it just for my own sanity, because if I'm thinking about this, I will be thinking about it all hours of the day, and it will control my life. I will bring my CM Punk jacket to All Out. That is no question. I will wear it to the show, actually, since everyone's fucking not shutting up about it. But if he shows up, and this is a massive if, this is a massive if, because I still don't believe it. If he shows up, I will cry, because I've never seen this man wrestle live. He will be in my favorite wrestling company at this point in time. And it'll be 7 years later since he left wrestling. And I truly thought he'd never come back. Everyone said, oh, everyone will come back. Bret Hart came back. How will CM Punk not come back? I still believed it. I took CM Punk at his words. And even if he comes back, I'm not going to be like, you said never, but then. No, I won't even be like that. I won't care. I'll be too filled with tears and emotions seeing, quite honestly, one of my idols. Not to the point that I get a Pepsi tattoo. I'm not on that level, but regardless, this man is my idol. I've met him 3 times. He's been nothing but cool to me. He's so incredibly nice to me, to Floyd, to fans of his that aren't like screaming in his face for a picture or being rude or whatnot. I know you either love him or you hate him. If you don't like CM Punk, that's totally fine. I totally understand why. If he shows up, I will cry. It's that simple. And I will not say anything more on it. If people keep telling me that he's coming back, I will deny it even more.
Right.
More likely just to piss you off because it's funny, but I just can't have it in the back of my head.
I will scream in such a high-pitched tone that you doubt that I am human, and you probably won't even hear it. I'm just like, because where I'm going to be, you're going to see me, and you're just going to see this big facial expression of happiness. Not many people in wrestling could challenge my love for Cody, right? You know how much I love that man. CM Punk does. Very much so. Very much so.
He's, and everyone's going to me, it's like, oh, bro, Living Color's following AEW on Twitter. Whoa, it's like, how can you not think it's happening? It's like, I refuse.
Dude.
I can't. Yeah. I can't go through these emotions again. If it happens, I will burst into tears and I will be unbelievably happy. It will be the greatest thing I ever experienced live at a wrestling show. Even if it happens at Dynamite, which I will not be at in that Chicago, or if it happens on Rampage for some reason, I will still cry because I still didn't ever believe this man would come back. Even if I'm not there. Cindy told me, like, if he shows up at one of those shows that we're not at and then we go to All Out already knowing that CM Punk's back, I'm going to be pissed. I get that. I won't care because CM Punk is back. So I don't care what happens from this point on.
My one concern, because I have to bring up the concerns because, you know, that's what the show is for. One concern is I would love him to come back to Dynamite or Rampage, because if it is the night that Hangman finally puts the belt on, I don't want it overshadowed by CM Punk. I don't want that moment overshadowed by CM Punk. So that's why I prefer Dynamite or Rampage, because it's just, they've done such a good job of protecting their world titles, and every world title change has been such a moment.
Here's what I would say. Like, if the title change happens with Kenny, with Adam Page, and he celebrates, and then eventually, like, he leaves or whatnot, and he celebrates amongst the fans, and he leaves, and then Kenny Omega's screaming, like, this is bull crap, I want a rematch, this is awful, this is stupid, I hate this, and then CM Punk comes out, because then it puts, like, CM Punk with Kenny instead of CM Punk with Hangman. So that happening, I could 100% believe. Even if he shows up, I don't think it'll overshadow Hangman's. I mean, like, more people will be talking about it just because it's unbelievable, but I don't think it will take away anything. But that's just me, because I'm a positive viewing person of that, though I'm sure other people would disagree with that.
I've heard it the other way, and it's just like, and it was a concern I didn't think about, and somebody brought it up. That's my one concern. But yeah, like I said, sports. No such thing as too much talent. You know, you bring in every talent that you have available, and then you figure it out. It's like they deal with Miro. They didn't know what to do with Miro when they brought him in, and he had to be the video game guy for a while until they found the spot. And it's just, you know, that's how it works. These two, oh my God, Daniel Bryan. Or Bryan Danielson, I'm a WWE-fied. Bryan Danielson, his actual real name. And CM Punk, they will figure out a way, and anything they do will be successful. This is one of those times I've actually shut off my brain. I don't want to think about how it's going to be done. I just want to let it happen and enjoy it.
And I will deny it, and then when it does happen, or if it happens, I will burst into tears.
Yeah, it just feels, unfortunately, this is not AEW's doing, because they've done nothing. They've said nothing. They've done nothing. It's just like, dude, if he doesn't show up, it's like AEW already broke my heart once this week. They would break my heart again. And we will get to how they broke my heart later. I think Austin might be able to guess how they broke my heart.
I have a pretty inkling suspicion with it, but yeah, I mean, that's why I'm denying it again, because I just don't want to have it ruin the show for me or whatnot. But regardless, we've talked enough about these reported signings. We can get into Fighter Fest Night 2 on this week's episode of Dynamite. We opened up with the first chapter of the five labors of Jericho, all of these...
You knew a guy that was at the show, right? Didn't you know a guy? You knew a guy that was at the show, right?
I do know a guy who was on the show. He showed up at the end of the show, actually.
No, a guy that was on the that was at the show. At the show. You knew a guy that was at the show, right?
Was it Mr. U?
Yes! It was me! Live from Dallas, Texas. Mr. U. It was live from Dallas, Texas. Your boy Floyd Johnson was in the building. My brother was with me. I got to tell you some funny anecdotes about that after we cover the show.
Sure thing. Yeah. But these are the hoops that MJF is making Chris Jericho jump through in order to get a match with him in singles competition. First chapter is Chris Jericho versus Sean Spears, where Sean Spears can use a chair as a weapon, but Chris Jericho can't. This was really good. MJF hopped on commentary, just ripping everyone to shreds, of course, JR, Tony Schiavone, anybody he could just like get a jab at, as well as, of course, Chris Jericho. This match was a really fun opener. Of course, Chris Jericho finding interesting ways to get out of the situation of just getting hit repeatedly by a chair by Sean Spears and then catching him at the end with him being running into the chair after Chris Jericho dodges it and then very swiftly hitting the Judas effect to get the win was incredible. But regardless, this was a fun opener. The match, I feel, honestly, was overshadowed by the announcement of what the second labor would be, because MJF immediately was furious, got a microphone, and said, "You'll be going up next week in a no-DQ match with a man who's been to prison, a man who's been shot at. It'll be a no-disqualification match against the most sadistic, twisted, criminal human being ever to step foot in the ring, Nick fucking Gage." I lost my mind because I have never thought in my days of being a wrestling fan that Nick Gage would ever be on national television. He just seemed like the antithesis of national television wrestling. If it was ECW back in the 90s, he'd 100% be there. I mean, so many people have compared him to New Jack. It's just like nowadays with wrestling and wrestling being on TV, there no way. I thought never in my days would I ever see that. But there he freaking was. That was one of the most shocking things I'd ever seen, because I never pictured Nick Gage being anywhere outside of like indie wrestling and GCW and all those types of shows. Like, I literally saw this man at All Out Weekend 2019 face off against Effie at Two Cup Stuff, get five light tubes smashed over his freaking head. And it just leads me to wonder, in this new no DQ match that Jericho's having next week, what are they going to let this man get away with? Because I'm not even concerned with, like Jericho and like what he can take or yada, yada, yada. I'm concerned with the network, because as much as the TNT has been loving having AEW, I mean, it literally has been the number one show on cable two weeks in a row. Did another 1 million number this week as well. But regardless of that, even TNT, I think, seeing Nick Gage doing the things he does, if they let him go full Nick Gage, would be like, let's pump the brakes a little bit. There's still kids watching this show. I don't know what levels they'll let Nick Gage go to. They just said it's a no DQ match. They didn't say it was an unsanctioned lights out match, of course, so they're not going to go too insane. But regardless, I'm like, in awe that this is happening, and I legit cannot wait to see what the hell happens next week.
This is the biggest, like, to me, this is like the best use of Nick Gage. Like, I know, I don't think he'll ever be fully signed with AEW. I don't think there's a spot. But once or twice a year, bring him in just to fuck somebody up. Oh my God, this is amazing. The pop when that happened. Okay, so I know the Nick Gage thing, but I want to say this on the match. The match with Chris Jericho and Sean Spears was way better than it had any right to be. And I felt like taking, "I told you Sean Spears is a good wrestler," victory lap. Because that dude was great. I mean, even the false finish that you knew wasn't going to happen, they sold it well with the strip chair to the head, and then he hit the C4, who he's finished everybody with, and Jericho kicked out. That was like an amazing false finish. All right, so, but yeah, Sean Spears did great in that match. MJF adding the stip that nobody else can interfere on behalf of on Jericho. I thought that added another level of difficulty to these trials or
yes, the five labors, labors of Jericho.
Five labors of Jericho. All right, but Nick Gage, oh my God, what did Dark Side of the Ring do for him? Because the pop he got when they said when MJF said his name, I promise you, before Dark Side of the Ring, about 15 people in that building knew who Nick Gage was.
Yeah.
And it's like Dark Side of the Ring, as soon as he said he robbed a bank with no mask on, they started popping. He didn't even have to say the name. And then he said Nick freaking Gage. And then he came out and it was Nick Gage just like, dude just looks violent, and he's the king. He's the king of death wrestling. I don't even like deathmatch wrestling. I like Nick Gage. I don't even like him. And it was funny, and he just came up, and he just, like, how he, like, for some people that love deathmatch wrestling, this is an absolute dream match, I imagine. I'm like, I'm not a deathmatch guy, so I don't know where this falls on, like, the idea of a real dream match, but I think for a lot of people, deathmatch wrestling, Chris Jericho, him crossing over, and then Nick Gage on the 22nd, I said I was going to read this on the show, because I think this was literally the perfect tweet. He said, yeah, I just want everyone to know, me and MJF ain't boys. Most of the time, I smack a dude like him around. But sometimes in the streets, money talks. And I'll definitely set a large amount of money to make Chris Jericho bleed. And if the price is right, I'll end his career. Just being honest. Sorry, bud. MDK.
Woo.
Dude, he stayed. He stayed, like, completely in character. He didn't sell out. Dude, I'm broke. I like money. So
I'll beat up anybody for a large amount of money.
And it's just, it fits his character and who he is perfectly well. It's a dude that understands his fans, his character, his image better than anybody. And for that, I will keep tipping my hat to him, because, you know, Nick Gage doesn't have to eat anything but Nick Gage. And that tweet just summed up everything about this match in one. And I love it. I love this whole segment. What a way to start Dynamite.
Yeah, this kicked off the show like insanely well. And we moved on quickly to singles competition between the Elite Hunter, Frankie Kazarian, and Doc Gallows of the Good Brothers. Now, I love Frankie. I love him so dearly. I think him being the Elite Hunter after the SCU breakup has been great, especially with CD being off TV, possibly fully retired. We don't know yet with that officially. And he's probably just teasing it for when he eventually comes back, if that's the case. Regardless, I'm not saying anything. This match was okay, I think, honestly. I think this match was okay. Obviously, it was going to have an issue following up the mega announcement of Nick Gage being on Dynamite next week at Fight for the Fallen. But it was an okay match, I felt like. I still love Frankie Kazarian. And Doc Gallows is great, of course. I mean, like, they're right there as a member of the Straight Edge Society. How can I hate this man? But anyway.
The match was not a Dynamite match.
It really wasn't.
It's a Dark Elevation match at best.
Yes, and well, because there was so much that happened after the match regardless, because it was so...
That's what made it a Dynamite match. You know, yeah. Extra.
Everything that happened afterwards made it worthy of being on Dynamite, because quickly after Frankie Kazarian got powerbombed and got pinned, the Good Brothers continued to beat up on him, and then Kenny Omega and Don Callis come out, start going after him, giving him crap for calling himself the Elite Hunter. And it's like, you messed with the Elite, so now you're in trouble. The Elite Hunter has become the Elite Hunted. they say that they're going to do to him what they are going to do to Hangman next week. Hangman's music hits, massive pop from the Texas crowd, and he comes out, and Don Callis is like, I know cowboys aren't bright, but there's four of us and one of you. And then as he starts coming to just swing on those members of the Elite in the ring, the Dark Order also runs out to help out, and that leads into the preview of what we're going to get next week at Fight for the Fallen, where we see the Elite versus Hangman and the Dark Order to see if these two guys, the team of the Dark Order, and if Hangman continues to keep their title matches going in to All Out. And yeah.
Hangman is so, so, so over. It's just unbelievable how this man has been over.
I say it every time, but we just like, I don't know how you can't light up every time you hear his music and then the crowd just erupts.
Yes. And you're like, oh, you got the certain people that are like, oh, they only build WWE guys.
And also, too, I got to say, too, because I've seen this flying around, too. People, Daniel Bryan was not made by WWE. They didn't want the Yes Movement to become a thing. It became a thing because the fans demanded it so much, and WWE basically relented because they had no other choice, and the crowd would have probably thrown out, like, all different kinds of fruits and tomatoes if freaking the main event of WrestleMania was Randy Orton versus Batista. I guarantee you they would
have. And they got rid of Daniel Bryan as quickly as they could after that.
Yes, and my guys, he was Bryan Danielson longer than he was Daniel Bryan. So let's cool the jets on that. If you like WWE, that's fine, but you don't got to be a shill like that and just like regurgitate everything that comes out of their mouth.
And again, real sports world, you know, that's where we come from. We're real sports fans. Players switch teams, brother. It just happens, you know. And
dude,
it happens. It's like, like, let it go.
You can remember Michael Jordan for the longest as a Chicago Bull. Let's not forget he played for the Wizards, bro.
Yeah, he played for the Wizards, you know. And it's just, yeah, you know, you can put a rose-colored tint on whatever you want. But, you know, players go to other teams. And like, yeah, Shaq was in Phoenix, you know. Shaq was in
so many teams, dude. Yeah. Like, there's literally a picture of Shaq as a rainbow jersey with all the teams that he was on.
Yeah, so it's just like you look at the greats. They play Peyton Manning finished with the Broncos, you know. It's like I could do this. Tom Brady just won a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers. The whole idea that you stay in one place your whole career is such an antiquated notion.
Or that where you started is where you are only tied to.
Yes.
You should never be tied down to where you work.
I'm just like loyal. And it's funny because it's such a one-way loyalty. You know what I mean?
100%.
It's such a one-way loyalty. WWE didn't want him to go anywhere, so they cleared him, you know, and say, oh, your contract's there. But for years, they wouldn't let him wrestle, even though most people thought he could wrestle. And it's just like, I'm not saying WWE is not the bad guy. They're a company. Let me just make it clear. They're just a company. And it's like people go work for other companies all the time. He fulfilled his contractual obligation.
And hey, look, if you want to play devil's advocate too, like y'all picked up Shinsuke Nakamura, who was a freaking hero in Japan when he was in New Japan Pro Wrestling. But am I going to go around being like New Japan made Shinsuke, bloody, 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 blah. No, Shinsuke can go wherever the hell he wants. Yeah. He seems very happy and content with being in WWE. But you can't just be like, Daniel Bryan was made by WWE. I hope they bury him and I hope they remove all history of him, yada, yada, yada. Like, New Japan ain't doing that.
Yeah,
so
Asuka.
Chill out.
Asuka was Kana long before she was Asuka.
Oh, yeah.
Ric Flair was a WCW guy. It didn't stop WWE from using them. You know, I could go through the list of people that WWE, the company, was built on buying all the stars from the major promotions around the country. Literally, there was no such thing as a WWF guy for years. So, chill the fuck out. I'm like, I hate to say that like that because it's just that's what you need to do. People go work other places. I mean, I imagine someday an AEW person is going to bounce for WWE. The money's going to be right. And you know what I'm going to say? I wish you the best on your future endeavors.
Yep. That's simply it. That's truly simply it. And we can move on from that really quickly. Do you want to finish your thought of what you were saying with Hangman, though?
Yeah, he's just the AEW homegrown guy. I know he was in New Japan, but he lost all the time. He was in ROH, but he kind of lost all the time. This is the company that got behind him, said he's the guy. He main evented their second pay-per-view ever. And so they've been behind him for a very long time. They main evented for a very long time. And then they kind of saw a way wasn't working, and they kind of pivoted with Hangman. And, you know, the depressed and the millennial cowboy and the drinking. It's like they have hit on every move they made with him. Even tagging him with Kenny, starting that storyline a year ago. Like, mm-hmm. This match that happens in September is 16 months in the making?
Yeah, it's about that.
Just think about that. That's the shit I love. They can try to edit it down to a package. It's got to be like 3 minutes long, because it's that much story involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I don't know. I just love how over Hangman is. It's proud. You see a baby boy growing up, and it's just like, and you're like, you were hoping that people took to him like this, but they've even destroyed my expectations at this point.
Yeah. But we can move on real quick. There was a short little segment with the Machine Brian Cage being interviewed after Team Taz made the announcement that there's going to be a celebration for the brand new FTW champion Ricky Starks next week in Charlotte. And Brian Cage was like, hey, that works out because I love celebrations. Letting everyone know he'll be there. So I think we can save that for next week when we talk Fight for the Fallen, since, I think we'll be able to have a little bit more of a conversation on that storyline moving from that point on. And plus, there's just so much that happened on this show and that's happening next week that I want to get through it all. We got another appearance of Wheeler Yuta with Orange Cassidy flanking him from the side. And he faced off against Darby Allin in this match, which was not a match that I thought I would see actually recently. I have a strong feeling that Wheeler Yuta is going to get signed. I don't know why. I just think they feel something for him. And even though this match was babyface versus babyface, and we truly don't have a full reason as to why Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends have taken Yuta under their wing, other than the fact that it's kind of like a protege situation. But regardless of the fact, this match between Yuta and Darby were two fast, high-flying guys going at it and killing it. But I gotta say, man, like, as much as I love Darby Allin and I love this, and I enjoyed this match a lot, all I cared about was Orange Cassidy facing off with Sting, putting his hands in his pocket, giving him those vicious kicks that he always does, and then Sting and Orange Cassidy moving back, exchanging kicks together. And then Sting does the most reluctant chest slam, like banging his chest as reluctantly as he can. I was crying. It was so funny. I love that spot. Anybody who's a fan of Sting long term, seeing this must have been like, what the fuck am I watching?
I was a little stinger, definitely. I lost it. It was amazing. It's just like, and it was separate from the match. It didn't really result in the ending. So it was in the perfect spot. Just a little comedy segment going on in the match. It was so good. And then I lost it when he beat the chest. I didn't, the next minute and a half after that, I didn't see until I got home. Because I was on the ground laughing at that moment. And I just and people were standing up. It was just crazy that Sting would do this, and it was like, dude, it's like the more I love Sting before, I love him like twice as much now, because it's just a cool moment, and he doesn't take himself too seriously, and I love that.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's just one of those moments, I think, is just like you never thought you would see this in wrestling, and yet you do. Darby Allin got the win, and then was eventually like kind of pushed to the side for this because he kind of just appeared in this match. This match was mainly in for Orange Cassidy and Yuta getting more experience and more time on TV as well, because the Blade snuck out and hit Orange Cassidy with those brass knuckles, knocking him straight out. And that'll lead into next week, I'm sure. But regardless, strong match, I think, with a lot of fast movements and just a nice little fun match with a really funny moment right in the middle of it. And Darby still looks incredible, as always. We then had the first title defense for AEW Women's World Champion Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, versus the Native Beast Nyla Rose, flanked by Vicky Guerrero. I think this was okay.
It was
all right.
Britt was over as pretty much as over as Hangman. She might have been they're 1 and 1A as far as how over someone can be in a show.
Yes.
You can pick who you want to be 1 and 1A. But in between the commercial before the show, Justin Roberts is like, who do you think is going to win the title match coming up? DMD, and your chant just breaks out, and the whole thing is chanting. He's like, well, there's no really real reason to ask the question. Justin Roberts is amazing at crowd control. If you ever go to a show,
well, no kidding, he literally stopped that one fan that, like, he was holding him back when the guy tried to come in and punch Jericho. That was Justin.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, when in between the commercials, like the stuff you don't hear on TV, he's just so good at entertaining, picking out signs, making everything a good time. It's just, it's pretty, it's like understated, but like in Dallas, I just really realized how kind of good he was at it. And it was like, he kind of got everybody chanting DMD in that DMD mode.
Without telling them to.
And then she comes out, and there, I mean, if you notice, crowd's immediately hot for that. That came from Justin Roberts setting him up in the commercials.
Yeah, so I mean, big ups to him for doing that, for sure.
Yeah.
But regardless, I thought this match was okay. I didn't think it was anything outstanding.
It was clunky as hell.
It was clunky many times. It was pretty slow. There was points where it seemed like Nyla got gassed maybe one or two times. Regardless of the fact, like, and also the match, there was no agency behind it because no one thought Nyla was taking that title off of Britt. She was way too over. She was way too hot. It was her first title defense. No one thought that was happening. So with a combination of effects, the match really didn't have much room to succeed. It still could succeed, but it didn't have a lot of room to. And with it being pretty clunky and pretty slow, it was the weakest part of the show. And again, like, it's not a great look for Britt with it being her first title defense, but I mean, like,
the fact that
there was very few people she could have actually faced that would at least seem legitimate, and it just, like, Nyla's given us way too many good performances too to think that she's an outlier for this, or to compare her to like somebody like, because I saw a couple Nia Jax comparisons and I was like, no, go back and watch Nyla Rose versus Riho, like, and shut up, because that's not the case at all. Nyla can go.
But they did a lot. It was a very ambitious match layout.
It was.
And they tried to do some things that, you know, I just didn't work. It happens in wrestling sometimes. The crowd stayed hot, and they ended hot. So I'm not going to really, you know, be like, oh, my God, they killed the crowd. No, the crowd stayed hot. When she
the last few minutes of it, actually, the last, like, 2 minutes of the match, I think, were good enough to kind of make it okay.
Yeah, and then when she's about to put in it, and it just everybody's on their feet, and they're just, like, yelling, and then she wins, and they, like, the winner is Dr. Britt Baker, DM'd, and it just crushed. I was just like, hey, good first defense. Was it the best match? No, but it was a good first defense.
Yeah, and it's honestly, dude, it's like with how hot she still is, regardless with the crowd, like, whoever she faces next, like, people, they don't care who she faces. They just want to see her defend that title because people are so excited to see Britt.
She needs a strong face.
She does need a strong face because, yeah, she leans way more heel than babyface.
Yeah, so she needs a strong face. The fact that this was a heel versus heel match.
Or a heel versus tweener.
Yeah, heel versus tweener match. It didn't really work. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things I could point to, But it was the first match. She beat a former champion, a person she had never beat. The story was there. Sometimes the story outweighs the execution, and this is one of those times.
Yes. We then had a small little press conference between FTR and Santana and Ortiz, building up to their match that they'll have on Fight for the Fallen next week.
And that's how they broke my heart.
Yeah.
I don't have time to go. I've been saying basically since FTR showed up that one of my other matches other than the Young Bucks was Proud and Powerful. And I was like, wherever it is, I'm going to be there. Yeah, give me more than 6 days' notice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'd love to make it. If I had 2 weeks' notice, I'd rent a car and be driving to North Carolina. You don't understand. That's how much I want to be at that match. But you literally gave me no notice.
Yep.
There's not a lot I can do with that. It literally breaks my heart that I'm not going to be there. It's going to be like, I'm going to watch it and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to root for my boys more than anything because they're all four of my boys. And it's just like the all four people that I love and respect in this business. It's just, oh my God. And the press conference. Oh my God. Does this not show you how important tag team wrestling is to AEW?
Absolutely.
This is not for the titles.
No, but it's two of their best teams going at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, this is not for the titles. But they're building this up like it's a tag team title match.
Yeah.
So I am very excited. I thought we weren't going to get this. I thought maybe August 4th was in my head for Jacksonville. And I was like, you know, I could kind of make that work. But then they did in North Carolina. FTR's home. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
It really makes sense. North Carolina makes sense. And if I would have thought about it for more than, 10 seconds apart their location, I would have just guessed it. But, yeah, this press conference was everything. I love Santana on the mic. I could kind of cut him off on the show, but you can watch the whole thing on YouTube. And it's just like, we grew up similar but not the same. And Santana was like, nah, we didn't grow up similar. This is my mother at 15 years old. This is my mother fighting to get us a clean living, you know. And it's like, they're like, you were poor. As my dad used to say, I never thought I would end up saying this on a wrestling thing. But he always said, your mom was poor. I was poor. We couldn't afford the O and the R. And if Mike Santana of Round Power basically said that to FTR, you were poor. We were poor. You know, It's like, you don't understand it. We are not the same. And I just thought it was so emotion. There was so much emotion and realness in that. And FTR is like, dude, we're just going to whip your ass. You know, it's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. You were poorer than me, whatever. But we're going to beat you up next week. And that's what it comes down to. This segment was magic to me. I don't care. I don't know if y'all hear the emotion coming out of me when I'm talking about this tag team match, because this is what I've been waiting on. It's ever since Proud and Powerful or LA as LAX was running Impact and FTR was, or as the Revival was winning every title that the WWE had to offer, I've wanted to see this match. I don't think it's going to disappoint.
Yeah. We then had the graciousness of the face of the Latinos, Andrade El Idolo, come out. And before they even got started with his promo, he had an announcement and a surprise. Tony Schiavone gets told from his assistant, and the announcement was there is a new executive consultant to Andrade El Idolo, and it's none other than Chavo Guerrero. That was a lovely surprise.
Should we be sad? Should we be sad for Andrade when his executive consultant got a 10 times bigger pop than he did?
Maybe, but you know what? Having Chavo around, I don't think can't hurt you.
Dude, you announced the Guerrero in Texas. You were going to get a big-ass pop.
Ooh, Chavo!
Yes, yeah, that was so awesome that it was there. And, you know, we all understand what he's there for. I love Andrade. I do. One of the best matches I've ever seen live included Andrade in it. But even when he's speaking English, I don't understand him most of the time.
Yes,
I can put it.
Bravo is so much more of a better fit. And he said, like, he built up AEW at the beginning of his little promo too, and then was like, with all respect to everyone in the locker room who's incredible, there's not enough talent, not as much talent as the man standing right next to me, Chavo said.
And in between those ropes, I don't doubt it. It's just his English is going to get better, but he got a way to go.
Yes, but having Chavo definitely helps, and it's great to see him in AEW for sure. After Chavo showed up, we had Death Triangle in its entirety show up. Pac,
and yeah, and that was a huge pop because we didn't expect Pac and Rey Fénix to come out, so that was crazy.
And honestly, them being there made it even better because Death Triangle shows up, and Pac said like they hide from no one after Andrade was talking last week about wanting to find Death Triangle. Andrade points to himself being elite, and listen, you guys are talented. I love Chavo saying, you guys are talented, but your waists aren't shiny enough. That's a lovely way to say, just like a funny, creative way to say, y'all don't have any titles. So you want to change that? Listen to Andrade. And Penta and Rey were very much singled out for this, being like, why do you work for Pac? And he's like, Andrade just set out like a boss like move right there. He's like, nah, nah, nah. Y'all work for Andrade El Idolo now. Just like set it. And Pac was like, he was the first to speak on it, saying like, no, 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 we're family. Rey Fénix and Penta both got on mics too. Penta, before he got to speak, Fénix saying they were the real face of the Latinos. And then Alex Abrahantes, of course, told everyone Penta says, which I love too, that the crowd chanted Penta says along with Alex. That needs to be a thing. Like, that needs to be a thing. 100%.
I think that's going to be a thing.
Yes. He said, why would we want to join a group with you when you're not even on our level? Death Triangle then quickly rolled up to try to face off against Andrade. Official separated them, made sure that didn't happen. Yes, I'm all for this. And if people aren't 100% certain on Andrade right now, I say give them time. I think Andrade will win a lot of people over. And having Chavo there for a lot more better enunciating English, no disrespect, it's not his first language, but having Chavo will definitely help at least bridge that gap and have people a lot more willing to see Andrade in promos in circumstances like that.
Yeah, I just want to let everybody know, Andrade is a star, and he's going to be a star. Mike's statements were basically just what I heard in the crowd and what I experienced. I couldn't understand him a lot of times, and it led to what chance? And it was just like, you know, when a person trying, when it seems like his character is going to be a lot character-based now, you really need to be able to get your thoughts across in a way everyone understands. So yes. It just seems like he's a lot. He doesn't wrestle a lot so right now, so it looks like it's going to be a lot built on character, so we really got to understand you. And we did. We pieced it together, and then Chavo cleaned it up a little bit. Hey, you know, work with Mexicans should stick together is basically what he was saying, and, you know, leave that white boy over there. And you know, and then they wasn't feeling it, and it's going to be fun because literally Andrade versus Rey Fénix, sign me up. Andrade versus Penta, sign me up. Andrade versus Pac, sign me up. Or Pac is the correct pronunciation. Sign me up for any of those three matches. They will be amazing matches.
Yes. We then had two little backstage segments. First was Cajun with Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy talking about how next week they'll be taking on Angelico and Private Party of the Hardy Family Office, basically saying they're going to get even with them because of what they did to Marco Stunt, which I believe they did on Dark Elevation, I think. Or was it just Dark?
Dark. It was just Dark. It was just Dark.
That's what I thought. It was just Dark. So they were going to get revenge for what they did to Marco, and they were going to do that next week. So there was that, and then we had Alex Marvez with QT Marshall and The Factory. QT said he's going to apologize to Tony Schiavone after he dumped his protein shake on his head. So There's that.
No, he said apology would happen.
Apology would happen.
Yeah. So I feel like he's not going to be the one he expects to apologize.
No. And I just love Tony just being like, you know what? It's like he's like caught off guard. It's like, oh, I appreciate that. That segment could be a lot of fun, and it'll be interesting to see if anyone tries to save Tony during that part.
In the Queen City of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. So after this was freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy facing off against the Blade, and that was in part of what happened earlier in the show with the Blade hitting that knuckle duster or brass knuckles into Orange Cassidy's face. This match I felt like was a fun match. I enjoy everything that I've seen with Orange Cassidy, though I think at this point right now he's kind of drifting. He's kind of just like moving around wherever he can. And while this little bit was still entertaining, it's not as Orange Cassidy, I think, isn't on like as fire of a momentum push as he was back during the pandemic times. Regardless of the fact, though, he's over as hell. I also got to say, too, when the bunny threw the brass knuckles into the ring, she nearly threw them into the ring and then straight out of the ring because they bounced off the ropes and then landed right in front of Blade. So they nearly missed that completely. Thankfully, it did not happen, but Orange Cassidy was still able to get the win after the Blade put him on. Orange Cassidy then quickly hit the orange punch, got the win, and then afterwards took those brass knuckles and hit him again with the orange punch just for good measure. This was all right.
I like nice little mini feud. And you're right, he's in a holding pattern, but that's kind of how you got to be. In wrestling, you're either winning or you're losing. You know,
there's sure, yeah. Again, like, it's nothing against it. He's still on TV, which is great, and I think he'll get more to do. And I think him having stuff to do with Yuta is giving him a possible something to do. But yeah, like I mean, like you can't not say that he hasn't dampened off a bit from his massive hot streak that he was having during the pandemic time. But regardless of the fact, this was a nice little like mini feud match before the main event match. But after that was the main event of the show, the IWGP United States Championship match being defended in a Texas death match. Jon Moxley versus the Murderhawk Monster, Lance Archer. Now, we had said the week prior that we were inclining that this was going to be New Japan style rules of Texas death match, where you had to win by pinfall and then win with the 10 count, like winning by like a last man standing match. No, it was just like a last man standing match.
It was an AEW Texas death match.
It was a
10 count or submission.
10 count or submission. Yes, they made it their own. They didn't go and just do New Japan's version, which is what we thought.
Technically, you know, it's wrestling. You don't like to use the word real, but it's the real version is 3 count and then stay down the 10. That's the real version. But the thing is, a wrestling, you know, performance art, you paint with your own brush. And AEW's version is what we saw, and it was amazing.
Yes, this match was crazy freaking good. These guys got vicious. Both of them, like, at one point, stabbed each other with a fork, of all things. There was so many vicious spots in this. My God, dude, like, just the barbed wire tables that Jon Moxley went through. He got ripped to shreds by those barbed wire planks. Like, he was ripped up. And these guys both did insane things. Moxley had that double chair, like, just slammed onto the edges of the chairs, like, right on the heads of them. And just, that was vicious. And, boy, Lance Archer took a ton, too, in this match. But regardless of the fact, what I think a lot of people weren't necessarily thinking was that Lance Archer would beat Moxley for the title. He regained his IWGP United States Championship. And we also got to say, earlier in the show, we saw Hikuleo was in the freaking crowd of Bullet Club fame. He was there, and he got into the ring to face off against Lance Archer, and they announced that they would be facing each other next week on Dynamite. Oh my God. Like, dude, this is getting me closer to the dream I'm having of seeing the Tongas back doing stuff with the Elite, back and them being on AEW. Dude, if I see Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa on AEW, I might scream. I love those dudes so much. Seeing Hikuleo made me so happy. I got to meet them at a Ring of Honor New Japan War of the Worlds show. He was super cool too. Dude, I'm like so freaking hyped for this. I just like we've already gotten Bullet Club representation with Kenta being on Dynamite, of course, but we're getting close to Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, which is what I truly want. I'm sure a lot more people would be like Jay White, and I totally get that, and I also want to see Jay White. I mean, he was on Impact recently, so like meh, but I want to see Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa back on I'm back doing stuff with the Elite. I just want to see it so bad. But this was a hell of a closer. The rest of the show
ain't nobody realer than Gorilla. If I hear that theme ever played, I hear the beat and then a boom boom from the gunshots, I will go crazy, because I got unfinished business. I know everybody else has probably let this go, but Bullet Club, you know, the OG Bullet Club versus the Elite, I still need to happen.
Yeah, dude, I was going to say, like, just you get a full-on freaking firing squad reunion.
Yeah, like, straight 5-on-5. Give me Jay White. Give me Tonga Loa. Give me Tama Tonga. Give me Hikuleo. And then, shit, give me Kenta against the five-member of the Elite. Let's do it. Elimination style.
Oh, dude, that'd be insane. And if the roles were switched for firing squad were baby faces, dude, that'd be nuts, too. Regardless, this show to me was like a two-moment show. It was the main event, and it was the arrival of Nick Gage. Those two moments were so crazy huge that the rest of the show, even Chava showing up, which I loved, and that was probably my favorite segment outside of MJF bringing in Nick Gage, was the Andrade and Death Triangle with Chava Guerrero. That was my other favorite segment besides Nick Gage showing up. But besides those three moments, the rest of Dynamite was kind of middle of the road. But those two moments, like, holy shit, dude, they brought them up. And again, this show once again did a million viewers and was the number one show on cable for 2 weeks in a row now. So even in this show that, despite some massive moments, you could argue was a bit of a middling show, still did a big number.
Oh, absolutely. And the whole talk of Daniel Bryan and CM Punk going forward is only going to increase it. It's only going to increase the excitement. I look at next week when we're going to talk about in a second. I consider it a pay-per-view quality show, without the world title. But it's just the big numbers. Was it Britt Baker, the highest rating again. You know, it was just... And this was like the first week that they didn't have a big major sporting event to go up against. And people are finding it that it is, you know, people are going to tune in. So this is amazing right now. AEW is so hot right now. I was telling a friend that I went to the mall and I went to Lids. And I was just kind of messing around until my wife got off work. And this, I come in with my Cody shirt in. He talks. He's like, yeah, I like AEW, but I haven't been watching it lately. CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, I'm going to start watching it. This dude, like in the 5-minute conversation we had, that's what I heard. You didn't know. He didn't watch it. He's about to start watching it. That's the whole goal of all of this. And yeah, I'm looking forward to what they do.
Yeah, it's going to be... insane if that's the case. And again, I will deny CM Punk until I see it happen in front of my very own eyes. But if everything that they're saying is true, AEW could be like in position to do insane things. But with all of that out of the way, we'll quickly go to the Fight for the Fallen preview for next week's Dynamite. With everything that they've announced so far, of course, we get the Elite versus Hangman Page and the Dark Order in 5-on-5 elimination styles. if Hangman and the Dark Order lose, both the Dark Order and Hangman lose their title opportunities against the Elite. We get the IWGP U.S. title being defended. Lance's first defense against Hikuleo. So hyped for that. The Five Labors of Jericho Chapter 2, Nick fucking Gage versus not just Chris Jericho, I must add. He said he's bringing the Painmaker to face Nick Gage. So we get the Painmaker, Chris Jericho. We're also getting Santana and Ortiz versus FTR, two of the best tag teams out there right now, going up this show.
Three of those four matches are legit main events.
No kidding.
I think Lance Archer and Hikuleo will probably start the show. But the other three matches, you could literally main event any of them.
Yeah, no, it's crazy to me, like, how these last three shows have had, like, massive matches that were announced that you could put on pay-per-view. That's why they have their, like, old school, like, back when Fight for the Fallen and Fyter Fest were technically pay-per-views because they didn't have Dynamite yet. Like, these shows, they make sure they still give these Fight for the Fallen and Fyter Fest shows big matches. Like, big matches.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we can expect some big things, too. Besides the Daniel Bryan rumors, too, some big things announced, too, when we get the Grand Slam show in Queens. But, yeah, Dynamite and AEW, just what they've been announcing and what's been rumored, they have been just rolling right now. And things could get like, crazy hairy. But with that, we don't really have any other news or headlines.
Like, our news and notes would have been Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, so...
That's literally it, yeah. So I think we don't really have any other headlines, and if they are, they're not as big as the possibility of CM Punk and Bryan Danielson, but yeah. I think that'll wrap it up for this episode of All Things Elite.
Yeah, that's all I got. Were you going to say anything? I don't know.
I'm just going to wrap us up real quick and let you take us home, but okay. I will wrap this episode up by saying thank you guys so much for listening, for sharing, for doing all the things you do. We really appreciate you sticking around with us. If you enjoy the show, download it on Google or Apple Podcasts. If you listen to us on Spotify or any other podcasting platforms, share us with whoever you wish. Really means the world. Tweet us out if you want. Be sure to tag us on Twitter as well. We'll get to that very soon. Ratings and reviews are always appreciated. You can leave a donation through Red Circle. On Twitter, we are at AT Elite Pod, at Social Suplex. They are our podcasting network that make this show possible. Check out all their other podcasts. You won't be disappointed. I am now at Austin Sumowitz on Twitter. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And I will let my good friend take us home for this episode of All Things Elite. Thank you, guys.
All right. Wrestling super exciting tonight. Big result from the GCW show. Make sure you check that out. AEW is, of course, heating up. But also WWE with the return of John Cena. And if you haven't heard Roman Reigns' promo from Friday Night SmackDown, please listen to it. It was hilarious. And it just seems like everybody's ramping up the product to be what's their best. So make sure you're watching all the wrestling that you can stand and supporting everybody. Buying the shirts. Just support wrestling. I mean, fans are back. This is the wrestling we love. And if you can, if you're not totally against it, I'm not trying to force, but if you haven't and you don't mind getting it, go ahead and get vaccinated. I'm not trying to force anybody to do anything that will. I'm just talking about the people that have but have been just kind of putting it off. Go ahead and get vaccinated so you can get it clear, because I don't want this thing to come back. I don't want another shutdown. That would suck. And, yeah, that's all I got to say. I just want you to know to support wrestling. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And I will end you as I always end you. Whether you are at home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.